What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of my show, Curls and Courage. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete aiming to inspire you and motivate you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. I hope y'all are doing well and on the daily journey, of course, to better your health and wellness. A little bit of an update on me that I wanted to share as far as how my week is going before we get into what today's podcast is all about. Monday started off great. Let me tell you guys, I made a lot of progress with work. I made a lot of progress in my own personal training. I had a meeting with a producer and a person who's really going to be helping me with the podcast setup as far as getting a studio created in my house. So just really uplifting day. Like, you know, when you just have a good day, it's productive. It's what you want it to be. And you're just thinking like, okay, like this is some hope. I feel motivation. Let's get the rest of the week going. Let me just say the rest of my week did not go so great. Tuesday was a completely different story in comparison to Monday. I had a major setback that I'm currently in the process of overcoming, but I don't want to share too much until the next couple of episodes. I am going to just give you guys a little bit of a teaser on that one. It's definitely a story time episode that I'm excited to share. It will be coming out not next week, but actually the week after, because this episode is going to be having a part two, because there is so much I need to cover when it comes to living intentionally and life with purpose. But you guys will just have to check it out in a couple weeks to hear more of an update. So let's talk about what today's podcast is going to entail. Living life with intention, having purpose behind the moves that you make, looking your best, but also feeling your best. Simply put, you know, I don't mean to brag, but I would say I'm pretty fly. So in today's episode, I want to share a few of my favorite wellness habits and just concepts that make me feel super fly, super chic, and super purposeful. I hope that you guys love this episode. And again, it's going to have two parts. Today is all about what is going on in the inside, the internal habits that we have, relating to mind and relating to self. So how you feel, how you think, and how you see yourself. In this episode, I talk about how you can be more fly in your inward expression. So firstly, we're going to discuss cognition, the internal mental processes, thinking, reasoning, decision-making, and more. Secondly, I want to talk about your mindset and mental health, your beliefs, your emotional well-being, and just your overall attitude. And then lastly, I want to talk about your identity, the sense of who you are and actually how you see yourself. And then next week, we'll talk about more of outward expression, so your body and behavior. Reason that this is important is because this is a health and wellness podcast, right? And when I think about what it comes to looking and feeling my absolute best, you know, just feeling fly. To me, it's not just about your outward appearance. It's so much more than that. It's about your inward appearance as well. It's really a culmination of so many lifestyle habits and wellness concepts, actually living a life with intention rather than, again, just kind of going through the motions. All of the traits and lifestyle habits and kind of concepts that I mentioned just a couple seconds ago are important. But the first one I want to talk about is your cognition. So what is it? Cognition, the definition is the internal mental processes like thinking, reasoning, memory, and decision making. This is important because good cognition is literally critical and it underlies almost every aspect of how we function in daily life. So again, our problem solving, our memory, our focus, our decision making, our adaptability, our learning, and our communication. Without it, everything from learning to social interaction to self-care can become almost impossible. So you have to continuously aim to improve your cognition. And it's a crucial part, let me say, to being fly and feeling well. So how do you practice it? I want to share with you guys a couple examples of what I do personally and how you can apply these suggestions and tips to your own life. So first thing I want to discuss when it comes to cognition is cognitive flexibility. I practice switching tasks at a quick pace. This happens in so much of our daily lives because we don't just wear one hat, right? We do so many different things. So it's like 1 minute you're a mom, the next minute you're a daughter, then you're a chef, then you're a wife. For me, I go from being a personal trainer to a podcast host to a content creator to a nutrition coach to a bikini bodybuilder to a researcher to an editor to a producer and so much more. You guys get the point. So you have to know how to switch tasks and drills constantly to be your best for every task that you have to do in every day and show up better for the people that you love. The way that I do this is by just making an effort to truly challenge yourself and just practicing going from one thing to the next and not letting anything derail you in the process. The second thing I like to do to better my cognition is I do creative thinking exercises. The first one that comes to mind is called a constraint challenge. This is when I give myself a weird, challenging, or just random limitation when I am trying to solve a specific problem. First one I do pretty often is called a time restraint challenge because I'm super busy, as I know we all are. So this is how it works. You want to basically complete a task or an idea generation within a strict time limit. For example, things that I actually do in daily life, create a speaking engagement within 1 minute. Come up with 5 new business ideas in 10 minutes. Write a short story or blog post in 15 minutes, or maybe design a detailed logo in 30 minutes. All of these things I have done, and I feel like it's been super helpful in, again, bettering my cognition because it encourages fast thinking and it helps break perfectionism. You will learn to embrace rough, raw creativity without overthinking. These time constraints force innovation. They make your brain work not only harder, but also smarter. And then lastly, I am constantly learning new skills, especially ones that just differ from my norm in relation to training and nutrition, right, as a coach. So what do? I place myself in uncomfortable positions that force me to learn. Right now, I'm working on boxing, dancing, learning a little bit of Spanish. Hola, ¿cómo estás? You feel me? Editing and just also moving to a new city. I want to highlight this. Again, I've been in Miami for almost 3 years now, but there is still something that I'm having to learn every single day. Whether it's bettering my communication, learning how to get around somewhere new within the city, or just picking up on the culture that is here as well. Coming from, again, Mobile, Alabama, it's such a culture shock moving to a city like Miami. So moving here, I'm super grateful because I, again, placed myself in a very uncomfortable position intentionally, and it's forced me to learn so many new skills. The way that this applies to you is because new skills better neural connections in your brain and even build new ones. This improves your memory, your attention, and your ability to solve problems, which is honestly what life is all about. That's funny to say because life is about a little bit more than this, but life is a roller coaster. It's all about riding the wave and, to me, learning how to solve problems that come up to the best of your ability. So you want to keep your brain sharp. You want to make a conscious effort to keep your brain active. No doubt this will help you be more successful because the world we live in is literally always changing. You want to learn how to be adaptable and you want to learn how to grow. So I challenge you guys, when it comes to learning new skills, this week I want you to learn one new skill in 7 days. This is something that I'm actually doing as well, and I'll update you on what that skill is and how it's going in the next podcast episode. But I want you to pick one new thing, and it doesn't have to be huge. It just has to be, again, new, whether it's learning how to cook a new recipe or learning how to edit a video, speak 5 phrases in a new language, or maybe build or create something. Pick something that, again, you've never done before, something that challenges you. And I want to encourage you guys, send me a direct message to @curlsandcouragepodcast on Instagram to show me what skill you're learning and what you're doing to better your cognition. You never know who you're going to inspire with what you do. I always love hearing about your journey and how you're bettering yourself because, again, I want you guys to be mentally and physically well. All right. So second thing I like to focus on when we talk about different mental processes is something called metacognition. What is it though? Weird word, right? It's your ability to reflect on, understand, and control your own thought processes. Essentially, it's your thinking about your thinking. This is important because once you learn this skill, it's going to better your learning. It's going to help you choose the right strategies you need, identify gaps in your current routine or schedule, and just retain information for a longer period of time. Next, it strengthens your independence. You will rely less on others and more on your own ability to plan, to adapt, and to monitor what you're doing. And then we talk about mental resilience. It helps you view setbacks as learning opportunities rather than just failures, which I want to touch on later as well. So how do I practice this? For me, there are three different methods that I'd suggest and that I actually use on a weekly basis. I'm telling y'all, my brain is always thinking. It's actually kind of annoying. It's a blessing and it's a curse. So here's the key components of metacognition. Firstly, knowing what you know and what you don't know. I play to my strengths and I identify my weaknesses. I write things down that I'm good at and I write down what I need to improve on. Next, you have to manage how you think and how you learn. It is important to have a high level of self-awareness in relation to this. So you're able to work, learn, and progress faster and more efficiently in the tasks, the goals that you want to accomplish. So for example, I am a hands-on learner. If you give me an instruction manual straight up, I'm just not going to read it. I prefer actually doing the task or skill that I'm working on rather than maybe other methods of learning. Some people are more visual, others are more auditory or logical or mathematical. That's definitely not me. There are so many different types of learning styles, but you have to know which one works best for you. I'll give you guys an example. In my line of work, you know, I'm a personal trainer. So I spend a lot of hours studying and learning new skills, especially when I first got into personal training. I had to take certain courses to get my certification in order to train others. And I just thought, of course, that'd be a good credential to have. But I have learned way more working with different types of clients and being in real life experiences rather than just reading a textbook or watching someone else train clients. So again, it just kind of takes that thought process of kind of analyzing how you think and learn best. Next is self-reflection. I take the time to look back and again, analyze that word again, how I approach tasks or just experiences or conversations, even in my life in general. This helps you make more intentional choices and actually learn from your mistakes because you have to be willing to learn from your experiences. I do this constantly when it comes to my career, but I'll give you guys an example from my personal life as well. So you know how we all have these tasks that we just don't really like to do and we know we have to do them, but we're just like, man, I would rather do literally anything else but this task. We all have them, right? For me, it's getting the mail. It's just a little bit annoying. I have to go down in my apartment. You know, it's not like I can just go out in my backyard and check the mail. It's just, I know that there's going to be some bills in there. I know there's going to be some things that I don't want to see. I know there's going to be people trying to scam me with information that I don't want to hear. So in that case, a lot of times I push it off. I don't check the mail, which I know is so stupid. And it has really made a negative impact in my life up to this point. So what do? I put on my big girl pants and decide to check the mail. And there's some not good stuff in there. I mean, traffic violations, bills, I'm talking business information that I should have checked months ago, but I did not. So now what do? I start getting mad at the people who sent me these bills. I'm like, man, these traffic violations, I don't deserve this. I can't believe this business information is popping up, but like in reality, it's my own fault. I have to kind of acknowledge that I haven't checked the mail in months. So now my bills are overdue. So now these traffic violations that I have are getting more expensive. And now I'm even being required to show up in court for certain specific cases. I swear it's not too bad, you guys. It's nothing crazy. It's just Miami. It's hard to drive here. So I messed up a couple times. But anyways, all this goes to say, I sat back for a moment and I reflected. Number one, I learned I need to check the mail. Number two, I learned, hey, this is actually my fault and I need to quit blaming this on other people. So self-reflection really is a practice that is underrated in my opinion. This is just kind of a dumb example, but it gives you guys an idea of how important it is to actually take a moment and reflect on yourself. And then another thing I do, number three, I work on improving my attention and my focus. I want to encourage you guys to check out last week's episode if you want to learn more on this. It was episode 64. I titled it Feeling Off, How to Boost Your Motivation and Better Your Focus. But I wanted to share today a few tips that I didn't talk about because again, when it comes to cognition, you have to have good focus. So first thing is a practice called mindfulness meditation. An example of this is breath awareness meditation. This is something that I actually do. There are so many different meditation practices out there right now, and I'm not going to lie to you guys, I've never been someone who can sit still for extensive periods of time, and I have a really hard time when it comes to deep meditation. But what I do is just take a couple deep breaths. So maybe I have a stressful situation come up, or I'm feeling a big wave of anxiety. What I do is bring my attention back to my breath. I feel the air moving in and out of my nose, in and out of my mouth or my chest. And I kind of notice when my mind wanders, and it will. If you guys try to take deep breaths or stop and meditate for a moment, your mind is going to take you places that normally you don't really want to go. But you have to notice the distraction and return your focus to your breath. This strengthens your mental focus and awareness in daily life. And it also helps calm your nervous system by reducing racing thoughts. So for me, I've talked about this before. I think this is something a lot of you struggle with as well. I do have chronic anxiety. I hate to talk about it, and I feel like people don't see it as much just because I've really learned how to manage it and self-regulate. But this is one of the self-regulation techniques that I use every single day. It's so helpful, especially if you're someone who is kind of a lone wolf like me and you don't have someone to help you kind of regulate and manage your stress. You have to learn how to do it yourself. Another thing I practice is selective attention task, which is where your brain focuses on important information while tuning out distractions. This is a skill that I really recommend that you learn. So I am super ADHD. As I mentioned, I have a really hard time focusing. So there's a couple of different things that I use to better my focus. First thing I use is music. So I have these noise-canceling AirPods that as long as I have them with me, I can pretty much tune out any distraction. I especially think about this when I'm training. I train in a super busy gym, and there's also a lot of beautiful people in the gym that I train at. Some beautiful girls, some beautiful guys. There's people screaming. There's people all around. The equipment is also very close together. It's just not super spaced out, and it's kind of a smaller facility. So you have to learn how to focus if you want to get anything done in the gym. So what I do is put on my music, I breathe for a second, and I just get through my training session. I'm only focused on me, not what anyone else is doing. Another example of this is being at a crowded event or a party, which, believe me, I don't party a lot, but there are events that I have to attend sometimes for work or just an event that I maybe want to attend. And when I'm at these events, dozens of people are talking. Music is playing, but what I do is just tune into the one person's voice in front of me. Maybe someone is saying my name, maybe I'm having one conversation, but this is a way that my brain basically selects one voice as important, and it kind of just filters out the rest of whatever's going on. I really encourage you guys to practice this technique. Another example would be maybe you're walking to work or running errands. You're walking down a busy sidewalk. There is pedestrians all around. There is crazy traffic. There is crazy people if you live in Miami like me. But you know, like, hey, I either got to get to work for that one client or for this one meeting, or I have to go to the store to get this one item. So I'm not going to get distracted. So in this case, you have to kind of dial in, you have to lock in, you have to focus on the task that needs to get done, and your mind will filter out unnecessary input to zero. This is so challenging. I know it is, but again, it's so vital, and it's quite possible to actually train your brain with a little bit of effort. All right, so next lifestyle habit while we are on the topic of brain health is cultivating the best mindset that you can. This is going to help you feel more fly. It's going to help you be more physically and mentally well. I want to touch a little bit on mental health, a hard subject to talk about, but one of my favorite subjects to honestly speak on as well, because it's crucial. So your mindset is basically the underlying beliefs and attitudes that shape how you interpret different experiences that you have. And again, everyone's mindset is different. There is so much I could touch on with this topic, but I'm trying to keep this episode around 30 minutes. So I'm just going to share a few main suggestions and mindset practices that I actually do. First mindset practice I want you guys to try is reframing failure as a learning opportunity. There are so many times in life that I have failed and I continue to fail. It's something probably every single day. And this used to really scare me, or it used to even kind of derail me from even starting something that I wanted to try because I was just too scared to fail. But once I reframed my mindset to truly seeing failure as a learning opportunity, this has helped me grow in so many ways. That's a really good concept to adapt. Second thing I want to touch on is using the power of the word yet. Yet is a three-letter word that you need to use when you feel stuck. So for example, we all have things in life and goals in life that we want to accomplish, but we feel like we're just not there. We're just not there yet. Me, for example, I'm not where I want to be in my career yet. I'm not a pro bikini competitor yet. I don't have the best relationships here in Miami yet. But once you add on that three-letter word to your sentences and what you're feeling and what you're going through, this helps shift your mindset and gives you hope, which opens the doors to better progress. And then lastly, I focus on what I can control. I used to be so bad at this, and it's human nature for our brains to identify the negatives first. But focusing on what I can control rather than what I cannot has literally transformed my mental health. Example, again, just a little teaser for you guys leading into a future episode. On Tuesday, y'all, I was literally unable to go to work. Physically could not get there. Physically could not stand on my two feet. So what did I do? I tried not to focus on that, but rather I kind of honed in on the things that I could control. Maybe I couldn't get to work that day, but I could rest. I could recover well. I could work on the things that I could do from home. I could progress in my podcast. I could progress in my online coaching. I could take more calls. I could do more work. I could do more check-ins. I just couldn't necessarily be on my two feet. And again, this might not make a whole lot of sense to you guys, but I want to save that for a whole nother episode because there's so much to talk about. Main thing I want you to get from this conversation is focus on the things in life that you can control. Another example that we go through so commonly would be our relationships, right? There are so many relationships we are trying to build and that we have in our current life. And it's hard not to let someone else control your emotions. You can't control how your boss talks to you, or you can't control what your boyfriend says to you. But what you can control is how you respond to those situations, to those conversations, how you communicate, how you manage your time most efficiently. The last thing I want to touch on today is the importance of knowing your identity. Your identity is the answer to the question, who am I? This plays such a role in your overall health and wellness. It's the collection of characteristics, values, beliefs, experiences, traits, and roles that define you, how you see yourself, but also how you present yourself to the other people around you, how you present yourself to the world we live in. Your identity is going to shape your decisions, your relationships, your behavior, and just your sense of meaning in life. So first thing I want you guys to do that I really suggest and something that I'm working on too is get clear on who you are and who you want to be. This is where self-reflection kind of comes in again. Ask yourself three questions. What do I believe in or stand for? Do my actions align with my values? And then what kind of person do I want to become in the future? If you know the answer to those three questions, that's going to be the first step in strengthening your identity. Secondly, you build your identity through your habits. For example, you want to be more fit, so work out every day. You want to be a musician, so make music every day and put it out there. You want to be an artist, start painting. You feel me? Actions always speak louder than words. So if you have a goal that you want to accomplish, you have to make sure that you are building your identity through your habits, okay? And then lastly, your environment and who you surround yourself with shapes your identity. This is a main reason why I tend to keep my circle pretty small here in Miami. Surrounding yourself with the right people. Spend time with the people who see you and who respect you for who you are. Put yourself in an environment that makes you better and that makes you happy as well. And then try to minimize the time with the people who drain you, who pressure you into being someone or something that you're not, or who manipulate you into doing things that you don't want to do. This is not always possible, but you at least have to make the effort to try. Knowing your identity and being truly confident in who you are will make you feel more fly and will make you feel more well. All right, loves, that is all for part one when we talk about living life with purpose and building the lifestyle habits that make you look and feel more fly from the inside out. We kind of covered a lot today on how to sharpen your cognition, on how to boost your mental health, and on how to, again, strengthen your identity. Main takeaways: being fly isn't just about your outfit or your aesthetics. It's about how you think. It's about how you feel. And it's about how you see yourself. So I just encourage you guys to start moving with intention. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just move. And remember this week's challenge. Learn that new skill in 7 days. It doesn't have to be big. Just something that stretches and challenges your brain a little bit. Make sure to DM me what you pick again at Curls and Courage Podcast so we can hold each other accountable and celebrate the growth together, of course. Also, if you guys are interested in one-on-one coaching, you need help with your training or your nutrition, you need help in bettering your overall health and wellness, I am accepting one-on-one coaching clients. So be sure to DM me at YoitsKenslow, that's at YoitsKenslow on Instagram, or shoot me an email at KensleyMeeksFit@gmail.com. That's KensleyMeeksFit at gmail.com. And we will set up a call to discuss your goals and see how I can help. All right, before we end today's show, I always like to take a question from a listener. And today's question is, is it bad to eat carbs at night if I am wanting to lose weight? All right. There are multiple parts to answer this question efficiently. I'm going to try not to ramble too much, but let me give you the rundown. So firstly, I would say it really comes down to the last part of your question. If I am wanting to lose weight, if losing weight is the goal, I would say you need to really structure your carbohydrates around your day in a way that makes sense. And you need to make sure that you're focused on the type of carbs that you are eating. So carbohydrates are our body's main energy source. And without them, you're not going to feel very well. You're going to feel sluggish, going to feel run down, tired all the time. You're not going to be as productive. And it's going to lead to more problems in the future. So I do believe even if you're trying to lose weight, you do need to have some carbohydrates in your diet. But I would say eating them like right before you go to bed isn't necessarily the best time. You can have a small amount of carbohydrates, something clean. Maybe you want to have a little bit of sweet potato with that last meal, or add, you know, half a banana to a protein shake. I think something like that is totally fine, but I'm not telling you to go eat a big plate of pasta. You need to focus more on the protein and healthy fats at night. That's going to help keep you more full and more sustained leading into the next day. If you were to tell me your goal was to run a marathon the next day, or maybe you have a really intense workout the next day, in that case, I would say go ahead and fuel your body with a higher carbohydrate intake, but just still clean sources. But if your goal is just, hey, again, I want to lose weight, I would say again at night, it's probably not the best time to load on at least a lot of carbohydrates. So try fueling your carbohydrates around your training and around the functions that you have going on in that day. The most important thing though is that you're in a caloric deficit when you're trying to lose weight, that you are burning more calories that you're eating over a consistent period of time. But those macros are important too. Protein, fats, and carbs, they all have a time, a place, and a purpose. So yeah, hopefully that helps you, gives you a little bit more insight. Again, if you need a little bit more specifics, you can always reach out to me through email or those Instagram accounts that we talked about earlier. So good question though. All right, my loves, I think that is all for today. Be sure to check out next week's episode where I'm going to be covering outward expression. I'm talking about things that I do to better my demeanor, behavior, and physical health to help me look and feel my absolute best. Some important things that I want to share with you guys that I think you'll absolutely love. But until then, remember to keep showing up with courage, take care of your mind, take care of your body, do the work to become your most purposeful, most powerful self. And as always, if you'd like to support the show, your support means the absolute world to me. Please leave a rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Share this episode with someone who you feel like needs to hear it. Subscribe to my channel on YouTube, Kensley Meeks. And again, don't hesitate to shoot me a DM if you just want to chat more. The podcast is also available, just started a couple months ago, on WDJY 99.1 FM radio. It drops every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I will place the link in the show notes below. So thank you again for your support. Let me know what you'd like to listen to next. I wish you guys blessings, gains, and wellness as always. Gotta have my listeners looking good and feeling fly. I'll talk to y'all next week, and thank you again so much for listening. Bye. We'll be right back.